Good morning.
He is risen. This is the third Sunday in the season of Lent. We gather to celebrate, to continue the celebration of the victory of Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, his obedience, and his resurrection. This morning, Lord, we ask to see you with new eyes. May our words, thoughts, and our hearts be acceptable to you.
Firstborn son,
Joseph. Wrapped it. And laid it. The new tomb hewn from the rock.
Jesus said, the Son of God entered the world as a newborn baby, lived a life of obedience unto death, was killed. Cut from a rock. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. God the Father raised his Son. If you are like me, you long for a job that's are the well, maybe for the 1 second before the dog comes back into the house. Does the dust ever stop? Where does it come from? Wouldn't it be grand if you didn't have to refill the oil in the gas tank, or even your own tank? Monday, new week, all over. But there is one job that is finished, completed, never needs to be done again. Christ's work on the cross is complete, total. What has it accomplished? Our salvation, yours and mine. Think about that. Your salvation is won, not by anything you have done, but only by Christ's selfless, undignified dying. And Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. All accounts have been paid up. Your eternal life. Praise be to God. The work of Jesus to restore us to the Father was. This is the peace Jesus gives to us. There is nothing we need. We need only have faith to believe Jesus is the Son of God. As God himself testified at Jesus' baptism and transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. According to 1 John chapter 2, believing that Jesus is the Christ consists of believing three things: that Jesus came in the flesh, that Jesus is God's Son, and that Jesus is the Savior. The disciple who witnessed Jesus' death on the cross, only one in the gospel, wrote in his letter, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. At the time of Jesus' birth, the world was experiencing what is called Roman peace, a time that was marked by external tranquility. When the angels sang at Jesus' birth, they announced a deep, more lasting, that of mind. Every year on Christmas Eve, we listen and watch the children's Christmas pageant. Every year we see the young shepherds tremble in fear as the angels appear in our choir loft and proclaim, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus came. He is God's Son. He is the Savior of the world. How do we receive? In his letter to the Romans, Paul tells us that we receive this peace by faith. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Examples of faith exist throughout Scripture. One of the earliest, one most well known, is that of Abraham. God promised Abraham he would be the father of many nations. He changed his name from Abraham, father of many. Abraham, the exalted father who, ironically, was childless, believed, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abraham. We hear a similar statement in the New Testament. When Mary is carrying Jesus in her womb and visits her cousin Elizabeth, who tells her, "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her." Mary believed the promise God made. Abram's faith that God would keep his promise, the promise that Abram would be the father of many nations, brought life over death into the lives of Abraham. Promise that Abram believed that God would bring back to life his ability. He believed this, despite how hopeless it seemed. Humanly speaking, Sarah's womb was dead. Abraham's body was essentially dead. Theologian Francis Schaeffer reminds us that just as dead, and he asks, "Will we believe as Abram?" Will we believe that he raised Jesus from the dead? As soon as we believe, we, who, like Abraham and Sarah, have been dead, will have been made alive. Just as Sarah and Abraham could now produce a child, we now can begin to produce that which has meaning. As Sarah's dead womb brought forth a child, so when we believe in the same God, very same God, and his promises, and therefore pass from death to life, we can begin to bring forth on the basis of the finished work of Jesus Christ that which is living instead of that which is dead. Paul describes the faith of Abraham in his letter to the Romans. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb also. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded God had power to do what he had promised. Later, after Isaac was born and growing up, Abraham was told to sacrifice his. Abraham's faith that God would still somehow keep his promise issued a living ram in the thicket instead of death to his son Isaac. The ram became a substitute for Isaac as Christ was a substitute for Isaac. In the New Testament, those who had faith or believed in Jesus, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace," Jesus said to the sinful. In Luke 17, Jesus said to the one leper who returned, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." To the woman who touched the hem of his garment and felt his healing power enter, he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from suffering. Saved you, made you well, healed you." All of these are attributed. A meeting Jesus had with a group of society's outcasts. It seems he is always meeting outcasts right where they are. Here in Luke 17, 11 through 19, I don't have your page number, but it's on the screen. Luke tells the tale of the 10 lepers. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith is in you." The story of the 10 lepers is found in none of the other gospels. Only Luke describes this particular cleansing. The story of the 10 lepers is a story of faith, but it is also a story of faith and gratitude. 10 men with leprosy, contagious skin condition that left people, met Jesus as he was going to the village. According to Leviticus, lepers, those with lesions on their skin, were quarantined, not permitted. They stayed there. They called out to Jesus. They called out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Obviously, they had heard of Jesus, perhaps even seen him traveling there. And they knew him. Nowhere else in Luke does anyone except a disciple of Jesus call Jesus Master. The title Master seemed to indicate have pity. Some translations have mercy. What did they want? All. They called Jesus by name, asked him. They approached him with humility, proper order. That Jesus had identified their lepers. He saw them and saw that they stayed outside the village. When he saw them, he commanded them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." What Jesus commanded the lepers to do, let me say that again. What Jesus commanded the lepers to do, after done nothing to heal them. All 10 obeyed. When they started off with their leprosy. Yeah. However, not so far. As they went, they were cleansed. Every last one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. It is only here in the entire New Testament not differentiate. He humbles himself. Jesus responds with a question. Where are the rest? No one came back to praise God for his healing except this father. Presumably the other 9 lepers were Jesus. Yes, leprosy gave these 10 men unwanted bond. The Samaritan was doubly an outcast. "Your faith has made you well." One leper offer his gratitude. One leper who did not even belong to the other lepers by race. The other 9 were cleansed from leprosy, along with this foreigner. But in addition to being cleansed, he was made well. Greek word used about healing in the New Testament is can be translated or literally. Some commentators statement faith has made you well would mean that this foreigner, this Samaritan, in addition to his cleansing from leprosy, seeks salvation, unlike the 9. Not only was he obedient, as were the others, grateful, he praised God. 10 lepers were healed. All 10 were healed, but only one of the 10 returned. Jesus told him to get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. This healing or saving leper may bring to mind the healing that took place in the same way in the Old Testament. Second King, prophet Elisha, encounters a leper, commander of the army of King Obama. Elisha, like Jesus, does not provide, actually doesn't even speak to him directly, sends a messenger, sends Naaman to wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Commander Naaman, at first angry, and then coaxed by the servant, does so. Foreigner returns to Elisha's thankful heart and declares, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." Elisha tells the cleansed Naaman to go. We learn in both of these encounters the kingdom of God is not limited to the but foreigners, Gentiles, including. Our salvation is secured by Christ's faith in Jesus is the victory that overcomes the world. God can and does quicken. We respond to God and his promise. Manifests itself in gratitude. We thank the Lord daily for his help, comfort, care, and provision, his healing. Have you said thank you to God for saving you from death and restoring you to everlasting life? The blood of his son, Jesus. Have you said thank you? Gratitude is a manifestation. Gratitude is what we shout when we believe that Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross and rose again to be our Savior. When we believe your faith has made us. We pray that the actions of our lives demonstrate. May we always be the ones who turn to praise for you. In the name of our Savior.